May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Abel Yadiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. I'll now turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Yap Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's privileged and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yeshua Abraham from St. Louis. I'd like to turn on to our first speaker, future priest Nathaniel Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is Reverend Yahweh. Reverend Yahweh, positive law number 4 says, Reverend Yahweh, by keeping his law, Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, verse 13 and 25, please turn to Deuteronomy 6, verse 2, and 13, found on page 152. So that you must reverence Yahweh, your Father, by keeping all his statutes and his laws, which I command you, your son and your son's son, all the things all the days of your life. So that the days may be prolonged. Yahweh, your Father, you must reverence and him you must serve, and by all his name you must keep your oath. When we keep and reverence Yahweh's laws, we are promised protection. Please turn to Colossians 2, verse 17, found on page 926, which are shadow of from things you to come, for the body of Messiah. When we keep and these feasts, we are bring being protected. May God bless your understanding. I'd like to turn over to the next speaker.
Your history question for me. My father had this building come to butter, free passage to Hawkins in your room, sir. Please, what's the food and drink of water air that you provide? Please help everybody to have a great Sabbath and to have righteous attitudes and to help everybody to become teachers and teachers of the nations, and you to the body of priests, pastors, how can you assume so? Holy, I praise you.
Great Deacon Abba Shalom Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. You may be seated, by the PCI, I'll be with each and every one of you. Today, you know, I'd just like to, you know, encourage everyone, you know, to keep on going, you know, keep on striving for perfection, keep on going through this work, and, you know, keep moving forward, keep on working out the problems in your life and, you know, moving on. You know, we're all struggling with something. You know, we all have one thing or another that we're struggling with, you know, or we're battling in our lives, you know, and there are always going to be, you know, problems or, you know, people there, they're going to test us, you know, that, you know, can give us problems, you know, or give us a hard time. You know, and they're, you know, but we have to keep on moving. We have to keep on going and strive for perfection. You know, we have to know our goal is to become perfect, you know. The goal is to make it into this kingdom, you know, get the sin out of our lives. You know, and strive, you know, to be this, you know, be what Yahweh wants us to be and do the job that he wants us to do. You know, and the, you know, it could be hard with the jealousy and, you know, the things that sometimes go on, you know, hurt feelings, you know, brothers that might step on your toes or things like that. But, you know, we shouldn't allow it to stop us from moving forward. You know, the Apostle Shaul asked us, you know, what would separate us from, you know, the love of Messiah? What would separate us from, you know, moving forward? If you turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8, and it's verse 35. Yeah, 35. It says, who will separate us from the love of Messiah? Will tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword? You can put whatever you might be struggling with, the people around you, you know, money, you know, your own desires, or, you know, what you think you need, you know, whatever we can put in there, you know, whatever you're struggling with, you can put in there. You know, what's going to separate you? What's going to, you know, draw you away from this work? And, you know, and, you know, it could be the people around you. It could be, you know, whatever you're struggling with. But we shouldn't allow that, you know, to pull us away. If you look down, verse 38 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor Malachi nor principalities nor powers nor the things present nor the things to come nor height nor depth nor any other thing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in Yahshua Messiah, our King." You know, and this is the point where we need to get to. You know, that nothing will be able to separate us, you know, from this work, you know, from doing what we have to do to, you know, strive for perfection. You know, not power, you know, power struggles or jealousy and things that go on sometimes. These shouldn't be able to separate us from that. You know, but it doesn't give, you know, us an excuse either, you know, to do things to people or, you know, to try to, you know, do things to get on somebody's nerves. You know, we will be judged for those things if we are doing that. spreading lies, rumors around people's backs, backbiting or slandering, the scripture talks about it. Even the character assassination, can go on sometimes. They did these things to Yahshua. They did the same thing to Yahshua. If you look at, Yahshua's been through all this. Go and turn over to Hebrews. If you look at Hebrews 8, or Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4, and look at verse 15, and it says, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but it wasn't always tempted as we are, yet was without sin. He was offered all the money in the world and all the power in the world and all these things. But he was able to get through it. He didn't allow that to draw him away from, the goal that was set for him. It says, but he went without sin. Turn over to Hebrews 2. It's on page over. Hebrews 2:18, and it says, For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted and tested and tried, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And we should be able to look upon the examples of the men of old, and the people, who already went through these things in the scriptures, and use that to, lean upon, and use that in our lives, to help us out. What do we want to be? Think about, what you want to be. What's your goal? Okay, what do you want to, be? You want to be the person that, endures, through all the hardships and the day-to-day grind, and then the things that might be done to you, or you want to be the person that's, told, I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Get away from me. If you look in Matthew 7, Matthew 7:21 says, for not everyone who says to be teacher, teacher, will enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, teacher, teacher, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name, and in your name performed many wonderful works? It says, but I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you practice iniquity. You break the laws of Yahweh. We don't want to fall in that category, okay? We shouldn't want to, we should try to stay away from this. Be the person that's accepted, and given that position. So, keep on going. Keep on striving for perfection. And now I'd like to turn over to the next speaker, if you all please stand. Great con, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. Great saints of Yahweh, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, be turning over to Revelation 13:18, and we're going to pick up where we left off before. I hope you're listening to the sermons on Preparation Day, as we've been instructed. This will all just fall right in place for us. By the way, 13:18, wasn't 1:3:18 just Wednesday? Interesting. And here we are in 2018, 18:666. So let's start it off right. Because Yahweh's going to reveal what this 666 is actually talking about. And he's going to thoroughly teach us this. Now, it says on Revelation 13, verse 18 on page 979, it says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Can I have my first slide? I want you to notice that, don't worry about the other numbers, that's for later, but look at the bottom number, 979, and look at your page number. That's all you need to know there. Can I have my next slide? By the way, a lot of people were calling and saying, did you notice that mistake on the calendar of 2017? It said 30-30 at the end of the month. It didn't have the 31st day. It just said 30, and then Sunday said 30. Did you think that was a mistake? Yahweh doesn't make mistakes. Might have been a misprint. It's been, if you look in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, don't do it now. Solomon's temple began to be built on 1012 BY. That's 30 years from 2018. Keep that in your mind. So we on the next slide? Okay. Pastor taught us in The Mark of the Beast, volume 1, in chapter 9, about gematria. And he taught us that whenever you see the number 666, you know, or, you know, you see things associated with it, it's not just talking about a number. It's talking about a system and the characteristics of the system. And if you'll notice in the slide, he gives some examples, Lucifer, and then Hades, and then hell. You know, Lucifer is 444, hell 222, 666. Or if you put Lucifer, Hades, you get 666. And then he shows the mark of the beast, mark of beast 666, and New York 666. Pretty interesting, right? That's on the Mark of the Beast, volume 1, page 143 and 144. Can I have my next slide? Well, you don't just have to use... Remember, Pastor didn't show us everything. Okay? Lucifer is the devil. Sheol is hell, or what they call Hades, the pit. The pit. And notice you still get 666. Notice the top number. New York. That's as far as I'm going to go there right now. But just keep that 9-11 in your mind. Turn over to Genesis chapter 10. New York, 666. Genesis chapter 10. The New World Order. Can I have my next slide? I want you to notice something. You would never see this, and we would never see this until the appropriate time. Remember, Yahweh reveals secrets, and he reveals them in the time that he already has set. This is 2018. So now it's time. You notice the top number on Genesis 10. It says 1998 BY. Take the slide down for just a moment so I can show this on the screen. Y'all see that? I hope you're writing these down, not putting them up there for nothing. 666 times 3. So let's look at Genesis 10, verse 8, or 18, 10, 8. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. Jump down to 10:10. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, and Akkad, all of them in the land of Shinar, that is Babylon. You know, it's interesting that New York, New York, the second Babylon, has an area code of 10101. And that's, you can do it in reverse. 1010, 1010, Genesis 1010, Babylon. Notice the side note F, or I'm sorry, D. The New World Order, the Tower of Strength. Can I have my next slide? Notice the top number. Actually, go back to the last slide. In that slide there, you'll notice the number 2218 in Genesis 10:8. You see that? That's when Cush begot Nimrod, or rebellion. 2218, New World Order, remember? Now go to the next slide. Whoa, New World Order 2218? Really? Yahweh, how do you do that? New York, you know, in New York now, where the Twin Towers used to be, you now have what's called the One World Trade Center. I'm not going to go any further than that, but we'll be talking about these towers. By the way, this is Hebrew year 5778 in 2018. And if you'll look on Google or NASA's website, you'll see the temperature of the sun is 5778 Kelvin. You know the sun they worship? And we'll be talking about that more later too. So let's go to the next slide. Here's the beautiful House of Yahweh webpage, yahweh.com. All right? I want you to know that's where you can access this inspiration from Yahweh. Because it only comes from Yahweh. It only comes from the House of Yahweh. Have you noticed the numbers are matching everything in the book of Yahweh? Go to the next slide, please. When you click on Yisrael Hawkins Says, you'll see these books. Look at the bottom. You got special books, including The Mark of the Beast, Volume 1 and 2. Free of charge. All you got to do is go there and click on it. It even got the Global Warming book up there now. Okay? Now let's go to the next slide. Because I want you to see here, turn over to Daniel 7:7. Turn over to Daniel 7 and verse 7. It says, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and exceedingly strong, and it had great iron teeth. And it devoured in broken pieces, then trampled the residue with its feet." And like Pastor always tells us, Daniel was most concerned about this fourth beast right here, because there was something different about it. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Look over to side note F. You know, these side notes that are so inspired, if you'll look at them, these were written before 1987. This book came out in 1987, the book of Yahweh. Read this. It says, "These horns are not kings, but ruling powers," Daniel 7:21 through 22:25. "Since 10 horns, starting with Nimrod, there had been 11 different ruling religions. Two of those are for the last days, the Catholic Church and her Protestant and Orthodox daughters." Now I'm going to read, and you're reading that up there, by the way. It's in the side note. That's what I saw when I went up there. So I did a little something. Can you go to the next slide? Ruling religions. Ruling religions. 666. Now, who could these ruling religions be? Let's go to the next slide. Actually, go back. Go back to that slide. Let me read you something from Pastor. This is from the Book of Yahweh. I'm sorry, the Book of Israel, chapter 13, part 1. Chapter 17, verse 55. Pastor says, "And I heard, as it were, one of the four living, one of the quartet." The quartet, called in Revelation 4:6, four living. You know, the quartet that meets in New York, 666, at the United Nations, where all the political leaders gather. for living, which means four active powers in the world today. That comes down from Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, showing four world ruling kingdoms, combining their strength under four ruling religions, Pharisees, Essenes, Sadducees, and Herodians, and now they call themselves, all of them call themselves universal. This is from the 15th book of Israel, chapter 6, verse 15. Who has believed our report? Well, these were the prophets. Our report meant more than one, more than just Isaiah, but he was one of the prophets who was severely persecuted by the ruling religions. The elders that later became Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, those were the names they took. They're also the ones that killed Yahshua, set up to kill Yahshua, set up to rule the nations. Let me go to Let me read this to you. It's from the Mark of the Beast, chapter 9. I hope you all read that. Revelation 13:5 says, "And he had power to give life to the likeness of the beast, that the idol of the beast should both speak and cause that as many that would not worship the likeness of the beast should be killed." Pastor says, these believers were killed because they will refuse to accept the mark of the beast. They refuse to worship in this false Babylonian system, this new world order they have set up. Yes, it's all around you, and yes, you will learn more about it. They will only worship Yahweh, talking about you, house of Yahweh, and those that out there in the world that will not accept this mark. They will only worship Yahweh and will only follow Yahweh's laws. Pastor says Daniel saw this killing of the saints. We see from Revelation 13:15 in the previous scripture in Daniel that this beastly system will make war against the saints, and that this war will continue until Yahshua comes a second time to stop it. Pastor says, please take note here that the true followers of Yahweh will not be loved as the churches are today, but they will actually be hated. And I showed you a couple years ago, Waco was one of them. Waco, Texas, 666 in Gematria, they went down. For many years, Pastor says, I have looked to see how this martyrdom of the saints could possibly take place in a land like the United States of America. I know there's small persecutions of those who follow Yahweh's laws in school systems and city governments. There are minor persecutions of the poor and minority groups here in the U.S. At times, there have been killings, but never an all-out, wide-open scale. Our public laws and U.S. constitutions are against such atrocities at the present time. The persecution that does befall now is slightly hidden and underhanded, but prophecy shows it will not remain that way. Are you getting that in your mind? Yahweh is preparing you for the worst time of trouble that's fixing to take place, and if you don't get this firmly in your head and you don't believe this firmly... Pastor says, so I watched the news media for clues which indicate the changes to take place. For years, the House of Yahweh has warned everyone to watch for a restoration of power in the Roman Catholic Church, which will head this slaughter, 666, remember, slaughter, and to watch her daughters, the Protestant churches, which will give their power to this beastly system. Pastor said in Daniel 7:7 in the side note, the Protestant churches and the Orthodox. Now, who popped up last year? The 10 kings, the Orthodox, lending their power, which will give their power to the beastly system. And if you remember last year, together, 2016, on the Washington Mall with the Protestants, hey, the protest is over. The protest is over. They say it themselves, and I'll show it to you. There's no protest. They've all joined the Pope. That's why Pope Francis spoke it together 2016 as they all danced around that sacred pole.
Now listen, the restoration, Pastor says, of the Catholic power started with Pope's campaign for publicity. And notice in 2015, they rolled out the red carpet to this devil worshiper in America, where one time they would have ran him off and tarred and feathered the man. They rolled out the red carpet and he came to his capital. Wow. We're living in a wonderful time. Go to the next slide, please. Go to the next slide, please. Beasts. This is Daniel 7:17. Beasts, which are four kings, which will arise out of the earth. 666. Next slide, please. These are Cain's armies. Cain's the first pope, remember? Pastor doesn't make this stuff up. Cain was the first pope. These are Cain's armies. This is the mark of Cain. 666. Do we have war in us? I hope not. Because it's not going to be in Yahweh's kingdom. There's not going to be anything like this. Can I have my next slide? Remember in the Middle Ages, the Papal States. Papal State, 666, is that these join the Pope and make war. Go to the next slide. The Papal Armies. The Papal Armies. You see that? These are Cain's armies. Remember, the number signifies who this is speaking of and the characteristics, the murder. The next slide. Remember the Crusaders. The Crusaders, 666, right? Well, doesn't it just make sense? And what do? Go to the next slide. They crusade for knighthood. They want knighthood, papal knighthood from the Pope. They want the sword on their shoulder and be made knights. Next slide, please. And all they know is to war and fight. War and fight. The way of Cain. Go to the next slide. Next slide, please. Oh, by the way, when you see 666 and 111 under it, 111 means lawlessness, but it also, think of Yada 111, the way of Cain. They have gone the way of Cain. Next slide, please. Well, there should be another one, but... Well, I guess that would be a great point. That'll be a great stopping point, okay? I want you to digest what you just saw because it's going to get really, really a lot more interesting if you can believe it. Okay? This is 2018 destruction 666. They know it, we know it, but we're going to show it. And the ones to reveal the secrets are right here. Stay tuned to the house of Yahweh. And stay attached to the chosen branch, Israel Hawkins. And at this time, oh wait, I do got to get that in because if I don't get this in, it won't set it up for this great Kahan I'm getting ready to set up. Or I'm getting to put up here. For some reason, where is that slide? Oh, here it is. I got to give you this. They war and fight, and this is what comes from their war. Blood of war, 666, the blood that's shed in their war. And at this time, if you'd all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. I couldn't find anything to wave, so I'll wave this. Please be seated. I'll say shalom to everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be upon all of you. If you will, get your books of Yahweh and turn to page 537, please. And... Anyway, at this time, we're going to study a couple of scriptures. It is fascinating that the things that were brought, we're talking about the knights. At one time I was studying to become a Catholic priest. Those knights are known as the Knights of Malta. Now everybody thinks Malta is just a little old island or a big old rock sitting somewhere in the Mediterranean. But there are many, many people, including some leading politicians of all the different nations, that covet being called a Knight of Malta. The Kohan, I'm sure, will be bringing more about it on the depth of this, because it gets pretty deep and there's a lot of business concerning it. But people, even that are not Catholic, are very glad to be called Knights of Malta. Then you have the Knights of Pythias, the Knights of Columbus, and all kinds of different organizations to go with it. And yes, there is no more verbal warfare between the Catholic and Protestant churches. The Protestant churches now and the Orthodox that are still not desirous to really be too, shall we say, openly friendly to the papacy, they are now called the separated, but look at the last word, brethren. And when the leading member of the Anglican Rite Church kisses the Pope's foot, which has been done, you know what's coming, and it's not far off. But let's look at Isaiah 11:14. You heard about bloodshed. This scripture talks about it, and it gets very serious. But let's read it. But they will fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines. And everybody thinks that's the Palestinians. It's not. Toward the west, they will plunder the people of the east together. Is Blackbeard or Walt Sparrow coming by or something? Those characters that are pirates. They will lay their hand on Edom and Moab. And the children of Ammon will obey them. It looks like just about every nation in the Middle East is going to do this. But you're going to find that these words are not talking about nations. They are talking about different types of religious cults that Yahweh doesn't want you to have anything to do with. The words "they will fly upon" that are written in Isaiah 11:14 are translated from the Hebrew word ofu. This word is listed on page 591 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows that word means to fly upon or a calamity or a terrible thing that the world say would happen. The word shoulder that is written in Isaiah 11:14 is translated from the Hebrew word kataf. This word is listed on page 710 of a Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means the side of a house. Oh, a house. The word Philistines that is written in Isaiah 11:14 is translated from the Hebrew word falashatim. This word is listed on page 1183 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means fabricated, a fraud. A fraud that people's law is a fraud. They don't keep it themselves. They are usurers. The usurers declare the law forbidding usury to be a fraud. And Moshe is a fool. The law of Moshe is a fraud. The document is forged. It was forged, but it wasn't forged on paper. It was forged in truth and righteousness. The words toward the west that are written in Isaiah 11:14 are translated from the Hebrew word yamah. This word is listed on page 572 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Riffer, shows this word means day. The words they will plunder that are written in Isaiah 11:14 are translated from the Hebrew word yabazu. This word is listed on page 191 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, but Julius First, but shows this word means to divide the religious ways, that is, to not apply himself to the one worship of Yahweh. The word east that is written in Isaiah 11:14 is translated from the Hebrew word kadam. This word is listed on page 1218 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to practice soothsayings and enchantments. In other words, turn your channel to bewitched and watch. That's about all you'll get out of it. The word Edom that is written in Isaiah 11:14 is translated from the Hebrew word adum. The analytical Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Benjamin Davison, page 8, shows this word traces back to the Hebrew root word dam, which means bloodshed, guilty of blood. In other words, to kill, to murder, to war, to assassinate. The word Moab that is written in Isaiah 11:14 is translated from the Hebrew word Moab. This, a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, pages 528 and 780, shows this word traces back to Hebrew root word Ya'ab, which means to long for, to desire, to lust after. The word Ammon, that is written in Isaiah 11:14 is translated from the Hebrew word Amun. This word is listed on page 1064 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means epithet of an associate deity or God. The words obey them that are written in Isaiah 11:14 are translated from the Hebrew word shamo. This word is listed on page 726 of the analytical Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Benjamin Davison, which shows this word means to be submissive. So what this message, this Isaiah 11:14 is saying is, but on that day calamity will swoop down and fall upon and take hold of the houses of all who call the law Yahweh gave through Moshe to be a lie, who don't even obey their own law. It will come down upon the people of those who practice witchcraft and wizardry. It will come down on those who don't worship Yahweh. It will come down upon those who shed blood and come down on all who long for and congregate and associate to humble themselves to the worship of God, Elohim. That's what that message is saying. But what you got to know right now, this scripture has the Atbash code in it. It tells you to look for another scripture to link. And here's the Atbash code. This is Isaiah 8:11. It's right there. I circled it. Right there. Aleph Tah. There it is. But where does the code go to? And the answer to that question is the next scripture. If you have a book of Yahweh, turn to Genesis 4:15 on page 3. Genesis 4:15. But there you have the Atbash code. Genesis 4:15. Circled is the Atbash code. These two scriptures come together. And they tell you this. You heard that Cain had to be one of the first popes. I don't disagree. The point of the matter is Yahweh said more than just what this scripture says. According to the translation of the King James Version, the Douay version of 1580, or anything afterward. Genesis 4:15. And Yahweh said to him, it is established, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. As bad as that guy was said to be, you would think half of the human race was picking up guns, arms, or whatever, maybe even a couple of nuclear bombs just to kill one man. But common sense and religion don't mix when the religion is not of Yahweh. The word kills that is written in Genesis 4:15 is translated from the Hebrew word harag. This word is listed on page 372 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to murder. The word Cain, that is written in the clause, whoever kills Cain, that is written in Genesis 4:15, is translated from the Hebrew word Cain. This word is listed on page 657 of the Analytical Hebrew and Celtic Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson. This word means a weapon, like a spear or a lance. We're not talking about just a pope here. We're talking about somebody that believes in packing a gun or a plane, dropping a bomb, a missile, you name it. In other words, to kill, to destroy. The words vengeance will be taken upon him that are written in Genesis 4:15 are translated from the Hebrew word yakam. This word is listed on page 933 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means judgment. And Julius First says it also means retaliation. There is going to be judgment on those who retaliate. If you bump into somebody and they turn around and haul off and belt you, that's retaliation. And the judgment is set. Because whoever retaliated you does not love their neighbors themselves. Or even worse. The word sevenfold that is written in Genesis 4:15 is translated from the Hebrew word shavotim. This word is listed on page 1337 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means the judgments Yahweh has announced that will come to pass. And yes, this Ashbash code does tie into Revelation, Revelation 1:8. I am the Aleph and the Tau. Yahweh's Ashbash code is Aleph and Tau. So add Revelation 1, verse 8 to your notes. I am, or Yahweh is, Yahshua serves as the Aleph and the Tau. They tried to hide this code, but it can't be hidden because Yahweh won't allow it. The word and, that is as part of the sentence, and Yahweh set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him, that is written in Genesis 4:15, translated from the Hebrew conjunction wall. This word is listed on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon of Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means for. The word set, that is written in Genesis 4:15, is translated from the Hebrew word yasham. This word is listed on page 786 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Samuel Tregelles, which shows this word means to attribute guilt. The word lest, that is written in Genesis 4:15, is translated from the Hebrew word labalati. This word is listed on pages 86, 88, 400, and 407 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word is actually a Hebrew compound word composed of the Hebrew words, Hebrew article of negation, la, and the Hebrew word balati, which have been combined to form this one word. The Hebrew article of negation, la, that is the first part of the Hebrew compound word labalati, that has been written in Genesis 4:15, is listed to page 425 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word, although it is used to say not, it is pointing out that this is a question where the answer is yes. Is not yes that is written. Okay, let me get this note right. So that we have it there, it means to destroy. Bala is listed on page 206-207 of Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon, Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to be to destroy or to kill. The word anyone that is written in Genesis 4:15 is translated from the Hebrew word kal, which in itself is also another Ashbash code. It's the 10th Ashbash code. Let's see, it's right there, right there. So this scripture was loaded with Ashbash codes. But it means everyone. So what Genesis 4:15 is saying is this, and Yahweh said to him, it is established. Whoever murders with the weapon, the judgment Yahweh has promised will come upon him. For Yahweh had found Cain guilty of the murder of his brother Abel. Does not he who destroys and seeks to murder everyone he finds have the mark of the beast? Revelation says, yes, he does. The whole book. And it said, those who have the mark of the beast, they're going down. Brothers and sisters, I have a reputation of being very, very, very hostile to the Greek translations of the New Testament. But I'm telling you, it doesn't bother me anymore, because Yahweh has blessed us with books that show the Hebrew words the Greek was translated for, and Greek Septuagint Hebrew manuscripts that include the New Testament. The churches say it's weak. Of course they do, because it doesn't say what they want to hear. It is better known as the Codex Sinaiticus. The scholars call it the Tischendorf manuscript. It is a Septuagint, but it doesn't quit at Malachi. It goes right on to the New Testament. It goes all the way to Revelation. But when Revelation says Aleph and Tau, common sense should tell you if there's an Aleph Tau in Revelation, that's the bottom line. It is done. The Aleph and Tau, the Atbash Kov is in the New Testament. They tried to hide it. But brothers and sisters, they failed miserably. And the misery you just saw from these two scriptures is coming. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, I turn the services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Well, in a world that, you know, the reality of the holiday season that they just have and the reality setting in of back to the misery because there's the money spent, the bills are coming in, and reality sets back in. Remember what Pastor said, how you go to the fair or you go somewhere for the excitement, and once it's over with, you leave and you have no money and the joy is gone, and now you're back to the average, everyday, miserable life that you had before, because there's no laws of peace to govern that. There's nothing there to build it up. Well, that's what society is going through. And, of course, with this opioid addiction that we've been talking about and reporting on for, it seems like, years now, now there's citizens actually standing up starting to sue the pharmaceutical companies. Now, of course, these pharmacies are this sorcery, which is controlled by the beast. Don't forget that. Controlled by the beast, spoken of in Revelation, through these sorceries, they tell them to don't worry about keeping the law, and then when they get sick, they tell them, don't worry, we have a pill for you. It's a wonder pill. It'll make the pain go away. Well, with the opioid overdoses, this is something you have to understand. The opioids numbs the body. And when people are overdosing, well, they don't make the pain go away. They're taking so much of it, it kills them before the pain goes away. Because the pain will never leave with their sin. The wages of sin is death. And that's what we're seeing. But people are now, and don't ever doubt, when these people start standing against this beastly system, it's the words and the work of the house of Yahweh that's getting the message out that, hey, there is a different way. There's a better way. So don't ever think that your work is done in vain, because it is showing. There's glimmers here and there, and there's only one place putting this message out. There's no other place putting it out. And then, of course, the FDA. Now, they're there. They're supposed to be there to keep you safe, right? When something goes into the grocery stores, they're there to tell you don't eat it because it could kill you. But, of course, you know, in the house of Yahweh, they're also there telling you that pork is clean. Just cook it at this temperature and everything will be fine. Well, of course, that's a lie. Well, they did an investigation, and food that contained listeria and other deadly bacteria that are in the stores, that you always hear about these recalls that they're saying this product needs to be pulled off the shelf. Well, after a study and an investigation was done, they're finding out that some products that are being recalled, 300 days later, are still on the shelf for sale. They're still trying to sell them. Now, I'm sure that's a pure coincidence and an accident. remember why these things are out there. This is a very money-driven. Remember, one of the roots of all evil, one of the roots is that love of money, that lust for money. Well, when you have a product that you know will kill people, and it takes you 303 days to get it off the shelf, do you think there's really true care and concern for an individual? Absolutely not. But that's what the beastly system teaches. That's the way of a beast. Let your foe get sick, then take them out. After all, there's too many of them out there. Don't think these things are accidental. They could get that stuff off the shelf within 30 minutes if they wanted to. It's all about what they want to do. And then WHO, the World Health Organization, has come out. House of Yahweh's taught this from day one. Video games that will cause mental problems. They will destroy your mind. Now keep in mind that these very realistic war games is what they're training soldiers on these days. They're actually training them because flying drones is like a video game. And that's how they're training them. Well, the World Health Organization is coming out saying it's now considered to be, it causes mental disease. And that was it. Nothing else to help you. They didn't tell you to stop doing it. They just said it causes mental disease. And that was pretty much it. Now, the World Health Organization, their job is supposed to be to warn you of dangers to help you to prevent illness, to keep you healthy. That's their job. But they're not doing that. Once again, that's the way of the beast. I'm sure there's going to be a pill that comes out for that too here before long. And then retail sales. This is something that we're building up. And this is, everyone should see the evil in these pagan holidays just from this stance right here. Where in the United States, they were boasting drastically about our economy is the best it's ever been. Record $598 billion spent for Christmas holidays. Now that doesn't include gift cards, which are a huge part. Because a gift card doesn't count until the person takes the card and they use it. Then that counts as income back into the economy. Even though the money's already there, it's a way to help numbers look very different than what they are. Because the money's already been spent. You're just redeeming it. But what they're doing now is they're building this up to tell you, look how great life is. But they don't tell you about everybody that's starving to death all around the world. They don't even want you to think about that. In fact, what they want you to do is you see a poor man on the side of the road, give him something. Give him some money so he can buy a meal. And the economy's great. We're doing great. Everything is wonderful. We don't need to change anything. Well, the reality is, as Pastor said, no one in this house starves. No one in this house does without food. Make sure that you see that's Yahweh's way. No one, the only way you can do without in the house of Yahweh is if you just don't make known you have a need. That's the only way. If you let people know you have a need, your needs are taken care of. Ways are provided. No one is put out. Well, in this world, they called it disposable income. Well, disposable income, but are they really prepared for what's lying ahead? Well, of course they're not. They're not told anything except from the house of Yahweh about these wars. And looking at Japan, we go into looking at Japan. Of course, after we look at the starvation that's taking place in Yemen right now, we go and look at Japan. Now remember, Japan's constitution, after World War II, they had two bombs dropped on them, killed many, many people. They put in their constitution they would never be an aggressor of war. Well, now they're starting to change back over. And they just had the United States, between Japan and the United States, and China does not like this whatsoever. They have converted a warship into an aircraft carrier. So now they can put F-35s on that aircraft carrier. Now Japan can patrol the seas, the Eastern China Sea, the Southern China Sea, and they can patrol those with F-35s. But think about this. How long do you think it was in the plans to do that? Can you just give a country some F-35s and say, here, go fly them? No. To give a country F-35s, there's a training progress. It's been taking place. It's been going on for a while. And of course, the countries see this, and Japan or China is speaking out against it, to now they're doing air drills. They're doing drills to prepare for an attack. They're looking at everything that's being used against North Korea as a preemptive planning attack for them. Remember what Pastor said about China. There's things to be said, more to be said about China and what's going on with China. Well, now also why this is taking place, you have North Korea. Remember they say the people of North Korea are starving to death. They don't have much in their country. In fact, The news reports just a month ago said they have 6 months left and they will be pretty much out of everything. Well, in that same statement, now they have North Korea is supposedly accused of buying oil from Russia and China out in the sea. They're saying that these tankers are going out in the sea, Russia and China, who, remember, the UN sanctions prevent anyone from selling oil to them. But they're saying these ships are meeting out in the sea, and Russia and China are taking the oil and putting it over into a North Korean ship or another country's ship, and then taking it into port. Well, of course, they prevented these ships from coming in, trying to cut off oil from North Korea. If North Korea is so poor, how do they get the money to buy the oil to begin with? You know, they're actually going through and they're trying to shut down their lifeline. Well, China and Russia, when you see them standing against it, and you can see what they're doing, they're not agreeing with what's being done out of the UN. They don't want to shut these people down and starve them to death, because that is literally what's being done. They're trying to cut off anything that brings forth a way of healthy living, or a way of living, period. I say healthy living, you can't live in the cold with no heat very long. We just found that out here. You want to have a source of heat. Well, they're trying to shut down these very basic things that are needed in North Korea. And of course, United Nations, remember, ran by the Catholic Church, they shut down those ports and none of those ships were allowed to come in and, of course, deliver the oil. Now, the U.S. also, remember Nikki Haley, who was the ambassador to the U.N., she recently said that the United States will not forget those who voted against the United States in making Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Many people stood against that. Well, they came out and said, we are now cutting $285 million from the budget we give the U.N. Because when you give lots of money, you expect things back, right? Watch what's going on with the UN and the money the United States gives, and then how the United States is not very pleased with how they don't get their way, and understand why the administration of the House of Yahweh does not take gifts and they do not take bribes, because they give you no grounds to stand on. Watch carefully, though, when you're watching for these things. There's a difference between Yahweh's tree, this tree of righteousness, because remember, the tree of righteousness and the tree of mixture of righteousness and evil, they both have righteousness. But the one tree has a mixture of evil blended with it. And that's where the death comes from. So watch this as the news is playing, because Pope Francis, during his Christmas speech, once again calling for a two-state solution. A two-state solution. That goes all the way back to what Pastor said in the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1. That's that same seven-year treaty that we're seeing. And then, of course, President Trump mocks the climate agreement, or the climate change due to the cold weather we're having in the United States. And then Nikki Haley spoke from the UN, and she's given an address of what the United States' intentions are in 2018. Now, to understand what's going on, remember President Bush's speech on the axis of evil. Remember, there were seven countries the United States was planning on dealing with. And, of course, Iran was one of them. Remember, we just brought in the news, and Pastor brought out also that these armies, the military, are building up in Afghanistan again. Well, why? Well, because Afghanistan borders Iran. What's going on in Iran right now? They're having massive protests. Well, the United States is wanting to run in and save the citizens before the government kills them. Well, as they're planning that, United States, you can see they're planning something to where they can go in. Russia is standing off, and Turkey is standing off to the side saying, you better not meddle in that country. Stay out of Iran. And, of course, Iran themselves is letting the United States know, you're not welcome here. Don't come. Then also, watch when they talk about President Trump and he acknowledges Russia and China as being rivals. And then remember what Pastor spoke about Malachi Martin. We have a contest. We have a battle going on. You have Russia and China. Russia and China. Russia's trying to build up, but they're not strong enough. They're going to need China. Pastor said that for years. He said that. Well, now President Trump is coming out. Russia and China, they're teaming together. They're rivals to us right now. But then you also have the United States, and then you have the Vatican, all vying for that top spot. But once again, we knew these things before they were ever said, because the one sent told us. And then China themselves. It closes out with China and the president of China. You'll have to read, because he's speaking in Chinese, but it's translated on the bottom of the screen, preparing his country for war. Preparing them, getting them ready, running drills, preparing for war. Now, we know that in these last days, This war is going to turn nuclear. There's lots of war, but it's going to turn nuclear. If we could please go ahead and play the news. I would like to introduce the great Kahan Kiefa Reynolds Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I know this is not the face that you were expecting. I apologize for that. But we do have some very, very great information to go over today. If you'd be turning to Matithiah 25 on page 753. It is always a pleasure to be here, to be with the family of Yahweh on a Sabbath, and to be a part of this work. And brethren, if it's one thing I want to get across clearly today, is the importance of the time, the little time that we have left, and the importance of utilizing that time wisely. There's a parable that Yeshua gave us here in Matithiah 25 that is something that really needs to be on our mind here in these last days at this time period, for sure. We've heard a lot about this, but I'd really like to kind of go over this in detail and show you a few of these words that were put in here and how they relate with every single thing you've heard today. I mean, every aspect of the messages that have been brought today tie in with what we're about to read here. But first we see that Yeshua says the kingdom of Yahweh may be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And of course we know who that bridegroom is, our great high priest, Yeshua Messiah. But notice, they had to take the lamp. Think of that word lamp. Let's just real quick hold your place there, because we'll be going back to it. But let's just turn over to Zechariah real quick. Zechariah 4. And of course, this is page 718. But in Zechariah 4, in verse 2, he says, and he said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, with its bowl for the oil on top of it, and its seven lamps on it. And these seven pipes are the seven lamps." And then if you look down to verse 11, he says, "Then I answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive trees upon the right and the left side of the lampstand and upon the left of it?' Then I spoke to him and he said to him, 'What are these two olive branches through the two golden pipes? Empty the golden oil through them.'" And you can't read this scripture here in Matithiah without understanding this here in Zechariah, because this is how this works. Understand that without this lamp giving us this golden oil, we can't receive it. And we're not going to get to the bridegroom without this lamp. Okay, there's no way. But once you have that in your mind here, let's go back to Matithiah 25. And he said, "And five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps but took no oil with them." Now, it's very possible to come here every Sabbath service, every week, to be on the mailing list, to watch the sermons, and then to put no effort into taking that information and really grabbing a hold of it. And this is very dangerous. You know, you don't want to fall into the category of being a forgetful hearer of the laws, because when the time comes, you're not going to be able to draw upon that oil unless you've been storing it up. And that's what this parable is all about. It's a very serious warning for us in this time period. A lot today was talked about retaliation, and that was really the main focus of why I wanted to go to this sermon. Because I realize about retaliation is that you can't wait until the moment to begin to put it down. You know, you don't wait until you're frustrated and ready to retaliate to decide, I don't want to retaliate. This is something that has to be done in advance. This is the oil that's coming forth from the house of Yahweh. This is what the peaceful solution is all about, a step-by-step process that teaches us how to put retaliation down. And a lot of it comes with the mindset of loving your neighbor. Okay, and I'll explain that a little bit more. But, you know, the point of it is that the only way to pass these tests is you have to become like Yahweh himself. And that's the only way. And you're not going to do that half-heartedly. You know, you're not going to become like Yahweh himself by just, you know, hearing a sermon once a week. It takes a lot of work, and you have to be really determined, because sometimes it's difficult. It's really, really difficult to choose righteousness when everything around you is like the first young deacon was speaking today. You know, when everything around you is trying to get you to react in a different way. In order for you to choose righteousness, takes a lot of backbone. It takes a lot of grit. It takes a lot of understanding. And the understanding is really what we need to be soaking in at this time. This is the oil that we need to be gathering. In verse 4, he says, the wise took their oil in their jars and in their lamps. Verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed. I don't want to get too much back into to. There's really a lot on patience that I just keep going back to. But I just wanted to bring the definition to mind one more time, because it's very much in line with the message today. But while the bridegroom was delayed. Now the two definitions that I've been bringing here on this word patience was the ability or capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Okay, so, and then the next one was the ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Now we think in our mind, delay, you know. Trust me, Yahweh's plan is going 100% according to what you can't come to Sabbath services and not see that. You know, you can't hear the information like was brought today and to think, well, you know, Yahweh's, there's something wrong with the plan here. You know, there's a delay in it. These things were done for our growth. And a lot of the tests and trials that we go through, you know, we need to realize that's what they are. They're not trying to force us out. They're trying to force sin out of us. And that's what they're there for. You know, so we need to be armed with that information every day, so that when we run into these types of situations, we can fall back on it. Say, no alien thing is befalling me right now. I'm experiencing exactly what Yahweh said I would be experiencing in this time period. In verse 6, he says, then at midnight, the cry was made, and behold, the bridegroom comes, and go out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now, that word trimmed is very, very interesting. If it's word number 2885 in Strong's Concordance. But it really explains a lot of the things that we've been going over today and what I've just been speaking to you about. But it's one of those words, you know, Pastor's always telling us, you know, look up these words. Don't just read over it. I'll just read over the word trim, you know, because what is it? What would that mean if you didn't go and look up, you know, what he was talking about? You wouldn't understand this. And in verse, it's word number 2885, but it means to put in proper order. It means to decorate, specifically to adorn, to garnish, to trim, to arrange. To put in order, and it's the same word. If we turn over to Titus, Titus in verse 2, this is the same word here that's used. Titus 2 in verse 9. let's go back. Yeah, let's go back to verse 9. He says, exhort servants to be obedient to their rulers and to please them well in everything and not to talk back to them. Okay, so I know we don't associate every day those types of things with the parable of the 10 virgins, right? But we need to. We should, because that has everything to do with that. To please their servants in everything and not to talk back to them. So now I want you to associate that every time you're confronted with this situation, fall back on this knowledge and understand that this is what's being spoken of with the foolish virgins that don't do this. In the verse 10, he says, and not to steal from them, but to show in all righteous honesty that they may adorn. Notice this is the word. The word trimmed there in Matthew 25 is translated adorn right here. That they may adorn the doctrine of Yahweh, our Savior, in all things. So this is something that we need to really, really value. Like the Peaceful Solution teaches us about values, we need to value the doctrine of Yahweh in all things. And that's just one example. I'll give you another example of the same word here in 1 Timothy 2, because it's the same word being used. 1 Timothy 2, and let's just go back to verse 8. Therefore, I will that men everywhere are to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or doubting. In verse 9, and also in the same manner that women adorn themselves and modest apparel. And here's the thing. It's like you don't typically think of that relating to this parable of these 10 virgins, but it is. This is what needs to be taking place. This is the value that we need to be taking in the instructions that are given forth from the house of Yahweh. Any instruction that comes forth from the house of Yahweh, you know, we need to really value them and to take them not lightly. You know, to put all of our effort into keeping the commandments that we receive when we come here. Because these are the very things that will keep us in that time of trouble. You know, you don't think of modest apparel as being one of those things. But the great family of Yahweh, this is a very important subject, you know, to be not putting out things that will cause other people to lust. You know, and I know this is taught very well in the house of Yahweh, but it needs to be valued. It needs to be valued. You know, young people, old people, any people, you don't acquire a righteous helpmate by doing something to create lust in that individual. All right? Praise Yahweh. You create a disaster by doing that. I don't know if you've seen the world, if you've seen the news, if you've seen the stores, if you've seen the people, if you've seen the suffering, if you've had to experience the suffering that takes place because of this, you will know and understand that that's hell that people are bringing upon the world. We shouldn't have anything to do with that. That's that system that we've been hearing about, and this is how it starts. This is how it starts, by people not valuing things like modest apparel. Okay, so if you want to join Satan, you know, that's one way to get started is to go around creating lust in other people's minds that shouldn't be there. You know, but in that same topic now, we can go to 1 Kefa 3:5, because it's the same word. 1 Kefa 3:5 on page 958. Where it says, for after this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in Yahweh, who adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, adorned themselves, adorned. That's that same word there. Now, this doesn't only, I don't want to make it sound like men are excused from obeying this rule. We're absolutely not. You know, we should as leaders of a household, you know, you're what you're training for here in the house of Yahweh, you know, this should be the furthest thing from your mind to want to try to tempt somebody else to sin. You know, Revelation 21:2 will be the last scripture with this word here. But you'll see how it ties in, you know, very, very clearly with the parable. Because in Revelation 21:2, he says, "And I, Yochanan, saw the holy city, Yahweh Shema, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as brides, adorned for their husband." Okay, so this is showing us how we become adorned. You know, we're speaking of course, this great marriage supper that everybody wants to be a part of. Well, we're not going to be a part of it. We're not going to be a part of it without doing this, without taking on this oil, without really just putting forth all your effort into overcoming. Now, let's see if I can find where I wrote that. Let's go back to Revelation. No. Okay. Yeah, Revelation 14. Organization has never been my my great skill, but praise Yahweh. You know, Yahweh's called a lot of us very different talents. Revelation 14, and this is more along the lines of what we were talking about with patience here. Because if you'll notice, in Matithia, let's go back to Matithia 25 real quick. I want to just put this in your head before we go to Revelation 14. So if you could just keep your hands on both areas. Matithia 25 and verse 5. Now, it says, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Okay, so if you hold your place there and go to Revelation 14, and remember what we just read about the delays there in that definition of the word patience. In verse 12 it says, "In this manner are the saints purified by keeping the laws of Yahweh in conformity with the faith as Yahshua." This is how purification takes place. This is how we're made ready, you know, as the scripture shows. Look at the verse right before it, though. In 11, it says, "And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no Sabbath night or day who worship the beast and his likeness, who receives the mark of his name." Now, we've heard a lot about that today, all right? And then in verse 12 shows us that, you know, how we are made different from that. And it's not by going off on our own, but it's by taking the golden oil that the seventh lamp pours out to us and utilizing that in our life. By attending the classes, not only attending, but taking that information and then applying it to everyday situations. And when you do that, when you practice righteousness, that's what the scripture says. If you practice righteousness, you're righteous, right? So once you start practicing righteousness, then those decisions become easier. Over time, those decisions become easier, and instead of retaliation, you start looking at ways to help an individual. Because when somebody is doing something that's making you angry, don't take it personal. Don't think that it's an attack against you, but realize that that person needs help. And be concerned with that individual. You know, and the more we look through those eyes, the more we become like Yahweh, because that's how Yahweh is. Yahweh doesn't look to see who's doing something wrong so that he can punish them. Yahweh looks to help. Everything that we go through, everything that Yahweh's done has been for the care and concern of his creation. So, you know, we have to develop that same care and concern. And this shows us how to do it in this manner. In verse 12, "In this manner, the saints purified..." They're purified by keeping the laws of Yahweh in conformity with the faith as Yahshua Messiah. Now, if we turn back now to Matithia 25, Matithia 25, and then verse 5, it says, "All slumbered and slept." Look to Matithia 13 real quick. Keep your page there in Matithia 25. But in Matithia 13, we're given a parable of the wheat and tares. In verse 24, he says, "He presented another parable to them, saying, 'The kingdom of Yahweh may be compared to a man who sowed worthy seed in his field, but while men slept.'" If you look back to 25, "They all slumbered and slept. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed his tares among the wheat." Now, this is why, you know, it's so important for us to learn to guard and keep the instructions that we receive here. And we have to value those instructions in order to be motivated to guard and keep them. You know, we have to look at them. These are treasures that we're given here in the house of Yahweh. Because if not, while men sleep, the enemy comes in and sows tares amongst the wheat. You know, these are problems. Now, the men and women of Yahweh are trained in demolishing these arguments and putting these things down. But we have to, you know, we're not going to be able to draw that power without first putting it in our mind, without taking in this oil. So back to Matithia 25. He says, "Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." In verse 7, "Then the foolish said to the wise, 'Hey, you know, give me some of your oil. Our lamps have gone out.' But the wise answered and said, 'No, there may not be enough for you and us. But go instead to those who sell and buy for themselves.'" And this really paints a clear picture of, you know, you cannot in the moment store up this knowledge. It has to be done in advance. You know, I always said in the restaurant world, in the restaurant industry, 90% of the work is done before service. Before you go to serve people, everything has to be done because you can't wait till the line shows up. Hey, wow, man, we got to feed these people. You know, it takes a long time to cook something, right? But when there's no line, people, it's hard to get people to understand that urgency because they don't see the line. They don't see that there's hungry people outside. They're just, you know, there's nobody here. Then when the people show up, it's time to hurry up and try to get something done. Okay, we can't do that with our salvation. You know, it's something that has to be built up. It's something that has to be prepared in advance. So when that time comes, you have oil to draw from. And it's a very serious warning, you know, to the house of Yahweh right now that we redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Everybody can see that. You know, surely nobody wants to be a part of this 666 system, but it takes discipline. You know, we have to discipline our own bodies so that after we preach to others, us ourselves will not be rejected, right? That's what the apostle said. So, but the wise answered, saying, or in verse 10, "But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage, and then the doors were shut." So later, the other virgins also came saying, Ruler, open for us. But he answered, "Truly, I don't know you." So that should be a real clear wake-up call for us that nobody wants to hear those words here in the house of Yahweh. But We can predict what the answer is going to be based upon our own actions, can't we? Because we're already told what to do. And if we refuse those instructions, we've already told what the answer is going to be. "I don't know you." That's very scary. "Therefore, watch, for you know that the day, this time," like the great Khan mentioned, I believe it was last week, you know, we're always got to be ready. When we came to the house of Yahweh, we were told to get ready. And it's an ongoing process. Getting ready, like we read here in this parable, is not something that we were given a time period. Like, you need to get ready for this particular time and you have this amount of time. It's an ongoing thing that we have to believe without seeing. We have to understand that this is coming. And it's very, very near. And our time is very limited, and we need to be rehearsing these words of life so that we don't fall into the same trap of sin and become like Cain and want to retaliate when we're confronted with adversity. So please, you know, take this serious and try to really really perfect this in your life, because we'll all be rejoicing shortly thereafter when we realize, you know, the great awesome blessings that Yahweh has in store for us right around the corner. So if you all please stand at this time, I thank you for the privilege to speak with you, and I give you the once again, the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. If you could be turning over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we really want to concentrate and continue on about, you know, being in this great house and what it has been established for, and the things that Pastor has said for many, many years in teaching us, and knowing that whenever he brings a sermon, it's very obvious that he can't go back and rehearse all of the things that he's brought and he's written in that one sermon. It's left upon us. Remember in Isaiah 34, we're told to search out the book of Yahweh and read or study. You should put parentheses above that word, study. And then remember the Ethiopian prince in Acts chapter 8 that told Philip, he was reading, but how can I read unless I have a teacher? I need a teacher. Well, of course, when we study the book of Yahweh, we should be studying the things brought forth by Yahweh's anointed, by the one sent to bring forth the information of what it is that we need to qualify for this position or this honor of Yahweh. Now, before we get to Hebrews chapter 12, I want to read you something that Pastor put in the Mark of the Beast, volume 2. And this is something we should all remember, because we came out of this world to the house of Yahweh. But why? Why did we come? It was a beautiful place in West Texas. Yeah. So you can get everybody to laugh about that. Well, remember, in the Mark of the Beast, and this is found on page 289, it's chapter 17, Mark of the Beast, volume 2. It says, the house of Yahweh is merely an instrument established and used by Yahweh to train the called out ones. It's merely a place of training. That's why it was established. That's why the one chosen, as Zacharias said, the one named branch, would go and build this house. He built a school. He built a school of training, of priests. That's why it was established. And then turning over to page 90, well, continuing off of page 289, it says, the house of Yahweh teaches how to resist Satan's influences and how to escape the second death. So what we left, what we came out of, and when we came to the house of Yahweh, we came to a place that was going to teach us to cut our ties with any deviation or any kind of sin, any kind of death, any kind of destruction whatsoever. Now that means when we came, we didn't know how to do it. We needed a teacher, and we could have read and read and read and read, but we still needed a teacher. We needed that person who was sent to build that house, because to build that house, keep in mind, this building is just a building. Yahweh's house is made up of people. He sent Yisrael Hawkins to build a body of people. And that's what he's done. And that's what he is doing. Now, in building this and looking at Hebrews chapter 12, if you notice the very top there at verse 12, Hebrews 12, verse 12, the section is titled, Become Trained by Yahweh. Become trained by Yahweh. Well, of course, that means go to the place he's established, as Isaiah 2, 2 and Micaiah 4, 1 through 3 says. Go to that place and learn of His way, Yahweh's way. That means there's somebody there waiting to teach us, waiting to instruct us. And then remember what that teacher said. Learn what to teach so you can teach what you've learned. That's a command that He's given us, that He's instructed us with. And He comes with all authority of Yahweh. But remember, we're supposed to study. Study to show ourselves approved, to be a workman worthy of our hire, that we need not be ashamed. Very important. And in verse 12, or look at verse 15. Search diligently so that no one falls short of the honor of Yahweh. Search diligently. Study. What do you think we're supposed to be searching? Books of Israel? Publications by the one sent. not get on the internet and see what, you know, the Vatican's teaching, see what the worldwide's teaching. If you want to know how that affects you, get a prophetic word. It's full of things exposing the way this beast leads people astray. And the thing that we have to remember, that this searching diligently not to fall short of the honor of Yahweh, we've already been told, hold fast to your crown. Let no one take your position. Now, this race that we run is not against each other. It's not, oh, I think that person's going to succeed in something. Let me take them down real quick. No. Do you know when a teacher is magnified is when their students are magnified? Whenever this world is glorified, whenever Yahweh says, through you, Israel, I'll be glorified, that's the turning of all of these people and bringing them out of the sin-sick world. That is how Yahweh will be glorified, through the teachings and the students, the seeds of Yisrael Hawkins. Well, in this honor, this position that we're offered, we're warned, you know, don't fall, don't let anyone take it. And notice what else occurs if we don't search diligently. We're told to search diligently so this does not take place. So that no root of bitterness grows up to cause trouble. For because of this, many are defiled. Well, how does a person become defiled? Do you not have to turn back to uncleanness? They go back to that which they came. And notice verse 16, so that there is no fornicators nor profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. We all were given an opportunity. Right now, we're given an opportunity. The place of the house of Yahweh is a place of opportunity. We tell our students this in our schools. Coming to our schools and having an opportunity to train to be a future priest is just an opportunity. That's all it is. It's given to you to qualify for a position. You have to choose to see it through. No one can make you. No one can force you. And no one can give it to you if you don't qualify. You literally have to train to do it. But don't be like Esau, who turned back to this world. Now look at verse 17. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, well, he seen what he lost then. He was rejected. For he found no way for repentance, though with tears sought it out. Now I want to tell you, we're not going to turn to it, but I wanted to tell you, go to Genesis 25. See the difference in the footnote pastor puts in there between Esau and Jacob. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I want you to search it out. Ask our young men in the schools, what was it they did? They should be able to tell you. They're learning what to teach so they can teach what they've learned. But Jacob did something. He went somewhere. He stayed somewhere. He trained somewhere. And that's what he did. He held fast to it. Keeping that in mind that we're supposed to search diligently, turn over to 2 Kefa. 2 Kefa, because we know that once we're called out of the sin-sick world, then the adversary comes to test. Just like Yahshua was tested, he was tempted, and he resisted. Yahshua was perfect in everything he did, and he has ascended as our high priest. He is a living example for us. And then Yahshua says that through this one named branch, I will perform this work in these last days. In fact, Yahweh tells him in Zechariah chapter 3 to behold the one named branch. But looking over in 2 Kefa, pastor actually brought this scripture in his last sermon. And remember, he's told us, when you go study, just don't look over words. Look them up. See what they mean. Find out what they mean. Well, looking at 2 Kefa chapter 2 and verse 18, we want to start with verse 18. It says, for when they speak great swelling words of worthlessness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through wantonness, licentiousness, the ones who have barely escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, something great, right? Was it give me liberty or give me death, I think someone said. They themselves are servants of corruption, for by whom anyone is overcome, to him he is enslaved. To him he is enslaved. Well, keep this in mind. First, to be able, for we know that judgment starts at the house of Yahweh. And why does it start at the house of Yahweh? Because the house of Yahweh is the training ground where you're trained, you have a choice, as Deuteronomy 30 says. You have a choice. You can choose life by righteousness, or you can choose death by destruction. But you are free moral agents. We are all free moral agents, and we're free to choose whichever one we want. Now, we can have peace for eternity, or we can have sin for a season. And in that sin, we're going to see what sin really brings. It's not going to be a joyful ending to that life. For remember, we are being judged now. Those that have been called out are being judged now at this time. But I want to show you also in the Mark of the Beast, these are things this pastor, he's put out for years. They're there for us. Page 314, he says, being forced to obey Yahweh's laws would not prove that any forced man or woman would continue without sinning if the opportunity to commit sin arose and the force to obey Yahweh was stopped. Yahweh wants to see if we will freely choose it. He wants to know if we will love Him. And of course, when we say we love Yahweh, many of us go to 1 Yochanan chapter 5 and verse 3. For by this you know you love Yahweh if you keep His law. But isn't there a law that says you must love Yahweh? Well, how? How do you love Yahweh? Well, also in that law it explains to us, and we'll get to that. But one other thing to keep in mind as we're going through here, in dealing with each other, because this is something we have to go through with each other. If a person only considers themselves, you don't have a part in this work. This work is built on learning what to teach so we can help our fellow brother and sister. And each and every person in this house has something to share, has something they can be a benefit to another person. Each and every person. But they have to study, or a root of bitterness will come up. You know that root of bitterness, as the Peaceful Solution says, it's emotions. Making decisions based on emotions and not getting the facts. Look up the word bitterness and you'll see it talks about emotions. But remember, judgment is not instant. That's for all of us. Mortal man tends to think of the great white throne of judgment as being instant. An instant judgment. We have instant coffee, instant tea, love at first sight, and hatred at first fight. We tend to want instant wealth, instant health, and we also want instant salvation. Just believe, right? Just believe and you shall be saved. But Yahweh's plan of building character, notice building character in mankind, just does not take place instantly. And remember page 4 of the self-control unit where it talks about developing self-control? That's a long-term process. It's in the section that's entitled Review and Rewind. It's a long-term process. It takes time to develop that self-control. But in the meantime, while you're trying to develop the self-control and you're trying to remove this worldliness, this character of the beast, which is what we come with, that's what we're like, in doing that, there's someone that keeps grabbing at us. Well, going back through, we want to look again. Going back, let's see, let me set it sideways here. Here, you fix that and let me know when you're done. It's always great to have smarter people standing beside you. But going on, notice we're going back to verse 18. For when they speak, notice great swelling words of worthlessness. Well, great swelling words, they tell you these big stories. You need Him? Do you need Israel Hawkins telling you what to do? Do you really have to have a priest telling you what to do? Well, Yahweh didn't say that to you. Man didn't tell you that. Yahweh told you that. He told you in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 9, go to the priest and ask them what to do. So when someone looks at you and they say, do you really need them telling you what to do? Say, well, Yahweh's the one that said for me to do it. You know, so ask them, you know, I don't know what house you're from, but you're not from this house. Because they speak these great swelling words. Well, remember, Khan Benjamin has already shown that the word proudly is part of that 666. It's part of that 666. But then, of course, they speak these swelling words of worthlessness. Now, I want you to notice the definition for the word worthlessness. That means the quality of being without practical use. Having no qualities that would render it valuable or useful. There is nothing you can benefit from this. Now remember, in the character unit on page 6, we learn about value. And a value is something that you deem to be important. And in the respect unit, where we have the building blocks, the three stages of respect, remember the first thing you have to learn to do is value yourself, because you have to have self-respect first. You have to value yourself. And then you can proceed into respecting, learning to respect. But we have to have value. Well, when they speak these words of worthlessness, why are they speaking these words to you? Well, notice they allure. They allure. Well, look at the definition for allure. It means the power to entice or attract through personal charm. Man, they sounded so great. Like the Catholic priests, when they come out, they look so nice as they bless those children and as they do their things. The churches, it seems so great to go to Christmas services and hear about the baby born in a manger. It seems so great. And then the credit card bill comes in and it's not so great anymore. No one told me all of this. Well, no one cared about the starving children as they bought the worthless toys. Or think about the parents that bought their children the video games we just showed in the news. They actually gave their child a gift for this pagan holiday that actually is going to destroy their children's mind. Is that love? No, because the priest will tell you, get away from the video games. Stay away from them. And then you'll have someone telling you, I've been playing these things for years. Look at me. Yeah, look at them. That's what you should do. Look at them. And then get away as fast as you can because it's destructive. But this power to entice. Well, remember, what did the serpent do to Eve? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. This tree, it looked desirable, didn't it? You know, when we say things like, don't go to the beach because there's bacteria in the sand and it could get on you. Most people walk barefooted on the beach. But if you're fully, you could wear a hazmat suit and you still don't need to go to the beach. Now, is the beach beautiful? Yeah, it's very beautiful. It's part of Yahweh's creation. Are there things in this world that is absolutely beautiful and things we want to see? Absolutely. But now is not the time. Now is not the place. We have to search diligently. We have to study what we've been taught, what our teacher is bringing us. We can't be allured by people telling us, did they tell you you have to do that? Look at us. Look at what we're doing. Well, they tried to allure, and remember lust? You see that lust of the flesh? Well, remember, lustful is also part of that beast. 666. Because remember, lusting for Yahweh's way, lusting to be a priest, lusting to be a kohana, a judge, a deacon, a deaconess, lusting to be a person that washes the feet at the door of the house of Yahweh is perfectly fine. Oh, great. Also with fascination. I got all kinds of props up here. Fascination also being 666, showing how it ties in to that beastly system, through that allure. Through the allure of pulling it up. Now, if you notice this putting it through, this lust of the flesh, and they do it through wantingness. Let's jump over to that. We'll go to through wantingness, who they live in error. Though they live in error, they want things, and remember, they want things that have no value. These great swelling words they speak to give you things that have no value. And of course it says they have barely escaped from those who live in error. And of course error is a wrong action attributable to bad judgment or ignorance or inattention. So it's bad judgment, making bad decisions, making things that actually harm you. Remember the fundamentals of the peaceful solution. You're to make decisions that harm not yourself, someone else, or the environment. The very basic guidelines of what we're supposed to do. Well, there's people that's going to come to you. All of you. And they're going to speak these great swelling words. And they're going to tell you how much better it would be if you would just get out. They're going to tell you, remember Waco? Here, let me show you a special. This young girl, she got out. Look at how great her life is now. And she's going to tell you, yeah, life is better. I would think it would be. If I got out of a church, it would be better for me too. But you didn't leave the house of Yahweh. You didn't leave the place of protection. But they want to tell you that if you're in a cult, which the largest cult on the face of the earth is the Vatican, and I do agree they need to get out of that cult, they're going to try to tell you that there's no benefit. You can't succeed. Come out and join this system and succeed. Have money, lots of money. Which, you know, you think of the foolishness that's tied into this: money buys happiness. Then why do rich people commit suicide? You know, if it buys so much, why is the United States so miserable right now? Why is there so much murder? Look down to verse 19. While they promised them liberty, remember liberty. And then that's what they promise you. They promise you liberty. If you'll just leave, you'll have this liberty. Well, notice liberty is the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. In other words, you're free, white, and 21, and you can do whatever you want to do. And then we put you in prison for breaking a rule. And now you're making us money. But they speak these great words of swellingness, telling you that this application of, they call it a hardship, they call it a burden that's put upon you. And they say that Yisrael Hawkins is the one putting this burden on you, and the priest and those other judges and all these people that agree with this, that learn to teach so they can teach what they've learned, well, they're putting a burden on you. That's what they want to tell you. Well, this liberty of being free, what says, they themselves are the servants of corruption. And notice the word corruption. It means the lack of integrity. Lack of integrity or honesty. No, yeah, they're lying to you. They're liars from the beginning, as Jochanan 8:44 said. And their use of position of trust for dishonest gain. In other words, they're supposed to have been someone that would lead you in a right direction. They're supposed to have been someone that would help you, that would guide you. They're supposed to be someone that would help you, that would guide you, that would direct you, that would show you the right way. They could be someone who you called your best friend. It could have been your mom. Could have been your dad. Could have been your grandmother. It could have been someone who was supposed to be there to guide you in righteousness. Just like Adam. Just like Eve. And just like Cain, who led his family that way. We, brothers and sisters, are supposed to be here for righteousness. And if we cause one of the least to stumble, it's said that it's better that a yoke be tied around our neck and we be cast out into the sea, is what Yeshua said. This is a place of training. This is a place of learning to develop positive moral character and to become like Yahweh. To take on Yahweh's very image. Now, everybody, as the great Kahan brought out last week, whenever you start working out, it kind of hurts on the way, right? There's bumps, there's bruises. Things get sore. Well, remember, judgment takes time. And the person that blew up on you, are they being judged for what they did? Of course they are. But yelling back, well, two fools can get an argument going. It doesn't make it better if you yell back. Remember that we all have learning to do, and there's learning curves. We all have to overcome this falling short. But keep in mind this being enslaved to sin, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to, as you notice it says, for by whom anyone is overcome. The word overcome means win a victory over. They've won you over. And what have they won you over to? Well, the word enslaved means make a slave of, bring into servitude. And remember Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. For you are a servant to whom you obey. Whether of righteousness or sin, you're a servant to whom you obey. And it's very important that we're able to separate from that. Look over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I know it's a very familiar scripture, but when someone asks you if you love Yahweh, don't just say, well, I love Yahweh because I keep His law. Because the law that we're given to love Yahweh is more than just keep His law. We're commanded. Notice in verse 15 it says, see, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death by destruction. I've set before you a choice. You can choose. In verse 16, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh, your Father. No, he's telling you to love Yahweh, but then he tells you how. By walking in all of his ways. Now, what is Micaiah? What does Micaiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 and Isaiah 2:2 say? For they will say in the last days, come and let us go up into the house of Yahweh and we will learn of his ways. Which means when you come to the house of Yahweh, you need to love what you're taught here. By obeying it, by walking in it, we must do that. That's part of loving Yahweh, is taking what we've learned and obeying it. Also, by keeping his laws, notice his statutes, and also his judgments. Whatever decision, when you ask of something, when you go to the priest or you go to the administration, you ask, what is it that I must do? Do you realize to love Yahweh, you're actually commanded to love the decision that comes forth? Because the decisions that are made will not cause harm to yourself, someone else, or the environment. The house of Yahweh does not promote breaking of Yahweh's law or man's law in any which way, shape, or form. Never have. But we will, as a body, from the highest to whoever they think is the least, and remember what Yahshua said, who, if you think you're the least, your position is greater than King Solomon's in this house. Don't be like Esau that threw it all away for one taste of God worship, for one taste of seeing what that world was really like. He lost his position. He lost his position when he entered this great house of Yahweh. Turn over to Psalms chapter 2 very quickly. Because that was really the building grounds to get into this one scent and how it was established from the beginning. I want to read you a scripture and just let you think about it. But think about the things we've covered on how when you come out of this world, they're going to come to you and tell you, don't do that. They're putting hardships upon you. In chapter 2 of Psalms, verse 1, it says, why do the heathen rage? All the people plot vanity. They're always scheming against each other. We see that constantly in the news. The kings of the earth, well, remember, who rules over the kings of the earth? It's the Vatican. They rule over the kings of the earth. And the rulers take counsel against Yahweh and his anointed, saying, Yahweh and his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, Yahweh's laws. Let us cast their yoke of bondage from us. Their yoke of bondage, this yoke of oppression. One last scripture. Turn over and let's see what Yahshua said about what they call a yoke of bondage. Turn over to Matthias chapter 11. Matthias chapter 11 on page 738. Because these kings of the earth are going to tell you that Yahweh's anointed is playing a yoke of bondage. He's placing a yoke of bondage. He's putting hardships on you that aren't necessary. Why pay 10% first tithe when you can come pay 35% in taxes? Yeah, it's... pray. I long for the day when Yahweh's kingdom is fully established. But notice what Yahshua said. If anyone comes to you and tells you that it's a burden, repeat these words back to him. Yahshua said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke, the law of Yahweh, is easy. And my burden, the load that must be carried, is light. I dare say none of us will ever go through what Yahshua did. None of us will ever have to endure what that man endured. And he said that his burden and his yoke was light, and it's achievable. Well, our burden in these last days is merely to learn the words that come forth from Yahweh's anointed and to be part of this house to bring peace and to remove death and destruction from this world. And that's really what is placed upon us, to join ourselves together with the chosen branch. And at this time, if everyone would please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the next seed of Israel for closing prayer.